Watch, for you know not when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Of Scripture. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, God is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Spirit of God, search our hearts. Now let us confess our sins to God. God of mercy, we have sinned against you and against others. We have sinned in what we have done and in what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, forgive us all that is past and raise us to newness of life. Amen. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Before we go to the invitatory, let me draw your attention to just above where it says number 3 on the page, and you'll see that word that we don't use during Advent, Alleluia. So we don't use that word. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Our King and Savior now draws near. Come, let us adore him.
Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God,
who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps his promise forever,
who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. He sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Alleluia.
Oops. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
reading from the letter of James. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
From the Gospel according to St. Matthew. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." And as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was in the fourth grade, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, Ricky Smith. And Ricky Smith informed me that John the Baptist founded the Baptist Church. And I said, I don't think so. He said, yeah, I mean, he's called John the Baptist. And like, I had no idea how to respond to that. I had no theological response, no historical response, and so I just kind of let it go. Then a few months later, it was summer, and I had played baseball. The only reason I ever played baseball was because my father was the president of the local Little League Association, and like, I didn't have a choice. I had to play baseball. I hated baseball. I was terrible at baseball, but I played. And the baseball fields were on a little hill, and at the bottom of that hill was the Baptist church that, like, everybody in the community except my family went to. And it was hot, and so we came down after, it must have been a practice, came down after practice and went into the church looking for some water. And I kind of walked around. And I'm going to tell you, I almost joined the Baptist church after that because I found in this church a swimming pool. And I thought, if they're going to put a swimming pool in this church, I want to go here. I had never seen a swimming pool in a church before. I don't know exactly what my expectations were, but it didn't have anything to do with swimming pools inside churches. And so as we read or listen to the gospel today, and actually as we listen to Isaiah, we're mindful of the fact that both Isaiah, and this is the first of the three Isaiahs, so we call him Proto-Isaiah, this Isaiah and John the Baptist are very much like what I think of as street preachers. I mean, they're like evangelicals. Repent, repent. Make straight the way of the Lord. Repent. I mean, that's their message. And John the Baptist is identified as the messenger of the Lord. And he's sitting in prison. The messenger of the Lord is sitting in prison. I'm thinking that his expectations were probably not that he would be sitting in prison. So when we look at Isaiah, when we look at most of the prophets, and we look at John the Baptist, what they're announcing, what they're prophesying, is the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah, the one who is going to free the people of God from the yoke of their oppressor. The Messiah is going to come in great glory. The Messiah is going to come with his army and free them. That's what they're expecting. And John, the messenger of the Lord, is in prison. And so he does what seems pretty logical to me. He's in prison. And understand that there were many traveling rabbis at this time, and the traveling rabbis usually would have some followers that would be called disciples. And John certainly had his group of disciples. And so some of the disciples visited him when he was in prison. And he wanted to know if Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, the one they were waiting for. Because John is in prison. The messenger of the Lord is in prison. And so he sends his disciples, some of them, to Jesus. Remember, Jesus is his cousin. He baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. It's not like he doesn't know Jesus. And yet, he sends his disciples to Jesus. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Are you the one who is to come? Because my expectation is that the one who's going to come isn't going to have me locked up in prison. That's my expectation, Jesus. And Jesus answered them, just as I read from Matthew. Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight. the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. That was the message that went back to John. And so, if we look at the preceding chapters in Matthew, what we see Jesus doing, what we read about Jesus doing, is just that. He's healing, he's raising a daughter from the dead, he's casting out demons, he's doing all of these things, which are super important to those few individuals who are directly impacted, but not to the nation of Israel as a whole. John's expectation is that the Messiah will come to free his people, not just this person and this person and this person and this person, to free his people. Are you the Messiah, the anointed one, or should I wait for somebody else? You know, we all have our own expectations, and those expectations can sometimes kind of get us in trouble. There was a story about a football player who played for the Buffalo Bills. I do not remember his name. My wife, who is a sports fanatic, could probably tell you his name. I cannot. And this was a few years ago. And this particular football player had prayed that, I don't know specifically what he prayed for, basically that his team would win. And his team didn't win. And so he posted in social media, "Thanks, God. I've been faithful. I've contributed to the church. I've contributed to charities." Sort of, he didn't say this, but imagine in brackets, "My expectation is that since I was good to you, you'd be good to me." How many of us do that? I'm going to live a good life and you'll be good to me. I'm going to contribute to the church and you're going to take care of me financially. I'm going to be a good person and follow, like, I don't know, those Ten Commandment things. And like, my life is going to be really okay. These are our expectations, right? Are you the Messiah or should I wait for another? Our expectations can get us in all kinds of trouble. That's not the deal God set up for us. Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." This is the Messiah who came. Not the leader of an army, but Jesus the Christ. This is the Messiah who came. Our expectations oftentimes are in conflict with what Jesus preached, right? They just are. Our expectations oftentimes have us assuming, expecting that if we're a good person, then God or the universe will be good back to us. It might work that way. It might not work that way. It depends on what our expectations are. If our expectations are, I accept Jesus as God, I accept Jesus as the Messiah, then the rest of that sort of expectational statement is, and I will do those things that he told me to do. I will do those things that he commanded. I will love others as he loved me, or as he loves me. Those are the expectations that are consistent with the gospel. Those are the expectations that Jesus, I hope, puts in our heart. Amen. Please stand as you're able. Together, let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Creed, saying together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In this season of Advent, we pray together for those who wait for the presence of God.
I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for our Bishop Brian, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. God of the prophets, give your church courage to speak truth and to tell your love. Pray for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. God of the angels, give your church voice to sing of your presence into the world. Give the world a freedom song, and help us to speak peace throughout the earth. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in need or trouble. God of the Magi, give your church gifts and the will to leave home to find you among the poor. Pray for those who are vulnerable and for the will to find the Christ child among them. God of the shepherds, give your church humility and to all who sit in darkness, alone and afraid, a light from heaven. We pray especially for Sally Sieg and family,
Terry, Marianne,
Peter,
Dan,
family and friends of the King family,
Elaine,
Nelson,
Randy,
Christina,
Lisa,
Judy,
Harry,
Rick.
I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of God. God of Mary and Elizabeth, give your church grace to be pregnant with hope and to bring forth new life for a barren world. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died.
God, our sovereign, you are always coming into the world. Give us the grace to receive you as the child of holiness and the light of the world.
Amen.
My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
God's peace. Please be seated. Senior Warden, are you going to make any announcements? Apparently not.
I am still a Senior Warden just for one more Sunday, our couple. Welcome to everybody who is here and any visitors that we might have.
After the service, as usual, we will have a gathering in the parish hall for refreshments and fellowship. Let me think, is there anything else? Anybody? Anybody else?
Just an announcement for Christmas Eve at 2 o'clock, there'll be a family service at St. Albans. And then at 5:30 here at St. Thaddeus, we'll have our traditional Christmas choral fest. The choir's been working very diligently. The bell choir has been practicing. This could be a wonderful service, so please invite friends and neighbors and family to come. We have a couple of new instruments that we're going to be playing for you, and it'll be a very nice service together. So we're here at St. Thaddeus, 5:30.
So come at 5:30 and be prepared to sing really well.
Yes, sir.
That would be my expectation.
And also I'd like to say thank you to all everybody that came to the party, St. Nicholas party. I hope you had a good time as I did. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it is poinsettia time. We have the sign-up sheet, so Kathy got that out for us. So that's on the flower field door. Same as last year, we have not had inflation around here. So $10 for each one. So please take a moment and sign up. I think the 18th is the deadline to make certain that acknowledgement is put out there for you.
Lloyd? Next Saturday, we got two things going on. We got the pantry, food pantry going on from 2 to 4. And I know Gene's going to be out of town, so we can use an extra set of hands there. And I've also got the pre-Christmas rally going on from 11 to 5. So I will try to probably need to be there between 2 and 4 versus being over here helping out. We also are going to be getting a load of food in Friday at 3:30 to unload. So if we got free hands, if you could just sit and chat with folks that they have their presence, that would be awesome. And I can bounce back to you and help food pantry. Or having somebody else to sit with whoever's back here would be great too. So
thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm not going to join you for the post-service get-together where it's always fun and there's usually a lot of good food because I have to make a mad dash back to St. Albans where we're having our annual parish meeting. So I'm not trying to be snobbish. I just want you to know I've got to like do that.
And thank you for being here with us.
It's my delight and pleasure to be here with you. And I always enjoy the wonderful music, and I'm going to enjoy more wonderful music. Now walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Together let us pray the general thanksgiving, praying together. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.